Disney. He conceded that Disney was the logical partner for Pixar, but said, "I can never make a deal with Disney as long as Michael Eisner is there." Roy commiserated with him. "When the Wicked Witch is dead, we'll be together again." I am scheduled to see Eisner in New York the next day, and am surprised that, in the wake of the Pixar news, his office calls to confirm rather than cancel. The press had been uniformly negative for Eisner, even though Disney had dispatched both Iger and Chief Financial Officer Tom Staggs to make the argument that Pixar was asking Disney to give up more potential revenue from Incredibles and Cars than it could hope to earn from distributing future Pixar films. When I arrive, I can tell Eisner has been shaken by the Pixar setback, which he says he doesn't want to talk about. He invites me to join him that afternoon at a table read of a new Broadway musical version of Tarzan. "This is what I really care about, not all this shit," he says, referring to the press coverage of the Pixar breakdown. Rarely, if ever, have I heard Eisner use any kind of expletive. Then, he does talk about Pixar, sounding exasperated. He argues that he was in a no-win situation. Had he done a deal on Pixar's terms, he would have been criticized for giving away the store. Now that talks have broken down, he's being criticized for not saving the deal. "I said to Steve Jobs, we'll make the same deal as any other studio going forward. I'll give you the letter we gave them. His board members can't believe they let this deal go. Every Disney board member emailed me," Eisner asserts. He says the Disney board, including Roy and Gold, unanimously rejected the terms proposed by Pixar. "Is it a ploy?" Eisner asks rhetorically. "It could be. I told the board 60-40, he'll still make the deal." The Pixar situation has played into Roy's and Gold's hands, and the two have been widely quoted in the media commenting on the breakdown of the negotiations. "This just proves, sadly, that we're right," Roy told the Los Angeles Times. "Our point is that if we had cultivated this relationship for the past 5 years, you would never have gotten to where you are now. This is bad long-term management." Eisner continues to dismiss Roy and Gold as ineffectual gadflies, but the strategy group is meeting every day for at least 15 minutes, in person or by phone. Eisner seems genuinely baffled, if not hurt, that Roy has publicly turned against him. "Roy did nothing in animation," Eisner tells me, stressing the word nothing. "Jeffrey Katzenberg and I did it. I spent my life encouraging people to be nice to Roy. Frank Wells would say, 'Roy wants to do this.' I'd say, 'Why not?' Jeffrey never learned. I told him, 'Be nice to him. If you can be nice to Jack Nicholson and Warren Beatty, you can be nice to Roy.' Jeffrey said, 'I don't have time.'" "I spent 17 years indulging him," Eisner says of Roy. "Little things. Could I be on the voice committee, which determines the voices appropriate for the animated characters? I came down on anyone who didn't respect him. After 50 years, he thought he'd earned respect. The reality was, I demanded it. It was in our interest. I had him at the theme parks. I made him the Holy Ghost of the Trinity of Disney. But I never let him do anything."